This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning One with Keith Kam and I'm Wong Xiaoning. It is just gone past 8:47. It's Tuesday, the 30th of April. And in about 15 minutes, we've got my favourite time of the day. That's when the FBMKLCI opens, as well as corporate results from the likes of Nestle, LPI Capital and some Singapore stocks thrown in for good measure. But in the meantime, let's talk about Thai politics, because changes are afoot in Thailand in more ways than one. Earlier this week, the government announced a cabinet reshuffle, the first under Prime Minister Sridhar Thavisin's watch, which saw six new faces added to the lineup. The newcomers include four names from the Pheu Thai Party, closely linked to former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra, which was released on parole in February this year.
But not everyone was on board with the shake-up, because the Foreign Minister Panpri Bahiranukara resigned after being removed from the post of Deputy Prime Minister in a cabinet reshuffle. So this resignation seemed to take political circles by surprise, although a successor has been identified by the government. And on top of the new cabinet, Thailand is also poised to elect its upper House of Parliament under new rules and could also hold referendums to change its military-backed constitution.
So what do all these developments indicate about the political dynamics in the often fraught Thai landscape? Joining us for an analysis on what's happening, we speak to Dr. Greg Raymond, Senior Lecturer at the Australian National University. Good morning, Greg. Good to speak to you. Now, before we get into the recent cabinet reshuffle, what's your assessment on how the Thavisin government has performed since he took office last August?
There's been a great deal of noise and action, with Prime Minister Sreta very obviously making many trips around the world seeking investment. But I think in terms of actual substantive outcomes, the cupboard is still a little bare. Thailand's economy has not really picked up, still lagging after the COVID pandemic, and there are still other issues that can't be addressed because of the nature of the coalition, which has many of the conservative parties. So in terms of economic reform, there's limited things that Sreta's been able to do. He's been able to make changes around the edges, but he's hoping that his big 10,000 baht digital wallet scheme is going to be the measure that pumps life into the economy and retrieves Pheu Thai's fortunes, which are still down in the dumps, because by forming what they're calling a cross whole coalition with the former military parties, they damaged their standing with the Thai electorate quite badly.
So, Greg, the former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra, he was released on parole back in February, just a couple of months back, and he is also widely viewed as the mastermind behind the current government. To what extent is this perception valid?
I don't know if the party's a rubber stamp for Thaksin, but I don't think there's much doubt that he is very influential. He's been travelling now, although he's very conspicuously wearing the neck brace. I guess that's to maintain the image of being a patient, which was the reason why he was let out of a detention, was basically on the grounds of illness. So he's maintaining that external appearance, but I think he's very involved, and he had some very prominent meetings in Chiang Mai recently with a range of politicians. And so I think there's not much doubt that he, through his daughter Ung Ing, Pe Tong Tan, is exerting considerable influence. But I imagine this is a process in which the Prime Minister would have had at least some input as well.
Now, the cabinet reshuffle was hinted at earlier this month before it was finally announced on Monday. Do you know the reasons for this shake-up, where we saw the departure of four ministers and then six new faces added?
I think essentially there's a goal for better administration of the public service departments attached to each of those ministries. So it seems that some ministers weren't really performing in that respect, including Dr. Chilanan in the health ministry, and also Sreta himself, because he's prime minister and finance minister, wasn't really doing enough with the finance department, particularly because the finance department has this this critical role in preparing for the launch of this digital wallet scheme. So he has drawn more new faces into finance. He's also removed himself from finance, and also at the same time, I think he's trying to bring in new blood. So some of the new appointees were younger politicians, younger administrators. So I think there's a view there to try and look like he's injecting energy into the cabinet. But notably, the quotas for each of the parties weren't changed, so there's nothing which indicates any shift in that power balance between those parties. But I think it's trying to get Puatai ready, looking better, able to pursue these strategic initiatives. And I think he felt like he needed to clear out some of the deadwood. It's a bit tragic for Dr. Chalanan, who took a leading role as a campaigner and then in managing the negotiations straight after the 14 May election. And he was really something of a sacrificial lamb. He first of all said that there was no possible way that they would go into coalition with the military proxy parties, and then had to publicly present an about-face, which damaged him politically. But it looks like he hasn't been doing well enough in the health portfolio, which is quite an important community-facing portfolio, so they've moved him out.
So does this buy Thavisin's government a bit more time in actually delivering what they're supposed to in terms of the economy, for example, by this new lineup?
Well, hopefully it will give him more energy expertise and better able to, drive the public servants better, have a better relationship between the ministers and public servants, and particularly with respect to that all-important digital wallet scheme. There's still a long way to go with that scheme. There are many different actors that are going to have to be brought into line to deliver that, and there's still considerable resistance and doubt about the financial probity, about the method by which they secure the funds. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. The other initiative that they have going is this sort of rebranding of Thailand with regard to soft power, and they've made a swap between two ministers, the culture minister and the tourism ministry have swapped, and so I think that's trying to add a little bit more energy and expertise into this soft power initiative, which is about selling Thailand as a place for investment, but also its own exports and its tourism industry. So the extent to which this is going to make a big difference, I think, is uncertain. But I think they're obviously looking to boost the energy of the government, and particularly Puatai still have real problems at the ballot box. In all the polls, they are still lagging behind Move Forward. So, next election is some way away, but they need to begin to retrieve that ground, and they'll be hoping that this is one step towards doing that.
So, Greg, with the resignation of the Foreign Minister Panpri Bahidanukara over the weekend, what does this indicate about the political alliances within the ruling government? Are we looking at some friction there?
Well, look, I think it's a big loss. Banpri is a very well educated. He's a successful businessman. His grandfather was General Chatchai, who was a very significant politician. So he was in the role because he believed in promoting Thailand, securing the national interest, and obviously he felt very disappointed by being taken out of the deputy prime ministership. It was like a rap on the knuckles when he felt he'd performed very ably in situations like retrieving hostages out of Gaza and pursuing various free trade agreements. So he was very disappointed. I don't see this as being particularly about a wider power struggle. It's more perhaps just wanted to give a deputy prime ministership for someone else. It's uncertain, you know, was there friction between he and Thaksin or he and Setar? I'm not sure about that, but it's come at a very bad time. Because the deputy prime minister of foreign affairs also moved at the same time, it's left a vacuum there at the moment, at a time when it's not, you know, there's some pretty big international developments quite close to Thailand, clearly on the border with Myanmar, where the town of Miawadi recently fell into the hands of the rebels and back to the junta. So there is a lot going on with Myanmar, and this has come at quite a bad time, I think, for Thailand to have this vacuum in the foreign ministry. As you said, they do have another career diplomat perhaps lined up to go, but it's not a good look for the government, and was entirely unexpected. As you'd be aware, his name was to continue as foreign minister in the royal proclamation, but as soon as he heard that he wasn't going to be a deputy prime minister anymore, he felt quite, like he had not been given due respect, and so resigned.
Okay, Greg, in the minute or so that we have left, Thailand is also revamping its upper house of parliament to replace the military-appointed Senate. What are the changes being introduced and the possible implications?
Well, this is very interesting. So they're looking to try something which has never been attempted before. This will be a completely new Senate selection process. It won't be a normal election with public voting for party-affiliated senators. There's a real reluctance to go down that path because in the past it meant that the upper house eventually was controlled by the party of the prime minister during the Thaksin era. So they don't want to go to the fully appointed, though, because that's become very, very unpopular with the electorate. So they're trying something which is a middle way. And basically, they're having a very complicated process where people will represent one of about 20 different professional groups. Professional groups include things, categories like rice farmers or public administrators or teachers or industry operators. And they'll be a group from each province, or they'll start at the district level, actually.
Okay.
And through a process in which these people actually vote for each other, they'll eventually arrive at 200. They'll start with something like 21,000. But what's interesting is you need to be over 40 and you need to pay 2,500 baht to be an applicant. So it straight away limits who can actually participate in this process.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. That was Dr. Greg Raymond, Senior Lecturer at the Australian National University, helping us understand what's happening in Thailand with all the recent changes in cabinet. Up next, the FBM KLCI opening, as well as market insights by Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.